Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 228 of Zack Snyder's Justice League, the epilogue, A Father Twice Over. The minute is going to start with the Joker asking Batman, who will give you the reach around?
You had a moment there where you're like, do I actually have to say this line? Didn't have to. No one told you to. We're not getting paid.
That's how the minute starts.
That's how the minute starts.
Yeah. Yeah, the energy just quickly sapped right out of me there. it's okay. We'll get through this one. The minute's going to end with the Joker offering Batman a truce. That part which I just said, probably the only part of this entire minute that I actually enjoy. I think it's really cool. It's very similar to how I felt in Suicide Squad with Enchantress doing the double hand shake.
Flip. The shot that he does.
I like...
You like that close-up that magic. Flip. You like close-up magic. You're a freak.
I would love it if a magician was just right in my face just doing that.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind in case I ever... if we ever rent entertainment, I just want you to rent a magician.
Okay.
For me.
Noted.
like a private experience, but it's just a magician.
Noted.
That's funny. That's silly. That would be a silly idea to think about. Yes. So, when I said yesterday that I felt like this whole scene was just cringy to me, this moment right here would be,
yeah, no, I get that.
The peak of it. This is where I'm like,
yeah,
I don't like this interaction, but someone is loving it, being like, yeah, this is a Joker, baby. This is what Joker stuff says, man. Like, I'm like, oh my God, please make it.
You
stop.
Know, I don't know if I ever actually like thought about that. I don't know if I ever thought about like, oh crap, people like want to hear the Joker say raunchy jokes to Batman. It's like, wait, yeah. I guess maybe. I don't know. I never really put that much thought into that style. Anyway, no, I agree with you. When I said yesterday that you know, I didn't understand where your dislike came from, I get it. I get it now. I honestly forgot about just like this part here, the whole like 50 seconds I forgot about, and then like the last 10 is the card trick, right? So.
Yeah,
I remembered that,
is nice.
But
yeah.
I mean, not really in its full.
Now,
and that's that is saying a lot, because that,
yeah,
like I was able to forget the things that I didn't like, and that's cool because I sat with the things that I did like, which was, yeah, that's totally Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, it worked out in my favor. Now I'm having to be reminded of. Just bad writing choices, I guess. I don't know.
It still works. It still works in that regard. And if, you know, for the sake of the podcast and, to, you know, going minute by minute and talking about this in detail, it still tracks with a Batman-Robin relationship. I mean, for the longest time, there were jokes just, you know, people used to joke about Aquaman. People used to joke about Batman and Robin.
Batman. Okay.
Yeah, Adam West, Burt
the
Ward
innuendos
of
the jokes between Batman and Robin. Okay,
and
that's
so
what
this works in that regard where it's like, okay, well, who's going to give you the reach around? Because obviously that's what, you know, Batman was doing, adopting boys and making them dress up in costumes, right? Like there's something gross there. I don't know that you needed to tap into it, but if I'm giving it more layers than it probably was intended, but it works in that regard, and even the way, especially in the way that we're claiming that this Joker is Dick Grayson, It just works in that regard. And just in that regard.
That's it. I wonder if like that's intentional.
Yes.
Obviously it's intentional. It was written down and it was delivered so poorly. So it was intentional.
But and it definitely, in the way that you're saying, it's like, oh, we have to do this. It probably does stem from Zach's love of Frank Miller's work. Currently reading through Strikes Again, in which they talk about this character. And now I've started reading All-Star Batman and Robin. And even thinking of what Batman and Kelly's relationship is like, I think there's a weird commentary being said about Batman that makes him... That challenges his how best to describe it. It just challenges his mythos, the way that Watchmen challenged superheroes as well, like the way Alan Moore did. And I think that's that with this kind of Dick Grayson, someone who's worked closely with Batman, for him saying it. It's really striking a nerve, whereas if this was just a regular Joker, not as close as Dick Grayson, then it would come off like just very out of place, just very out of pocket kind of remark. The thing that makes it worse is like the delivery of saying such a thing.
Falling flat, not even a but tish.
And the beat being, anyways.
Anyway.
See,
What is that? That is so weird.
That is like a bombing thing.
And it's in a movie.
It's a bombing.
Like you could have done multiple takes, and yet it's like you still chose the bomb track. Like, that's...
I'm pretty sure Jared Leto said it. And he said, who's going to give you the reach around, and then said anyways, as if he's changing his behavior to get ready for the next line. And they just kept it. They just kept the anyways. And it's like, you could just cut that anyways out, give the dead air, and then say, you need me. Right?
Why didn't he laugh at his own joke? He's the Joker.
Yeah.
He could have had a ha-ha, a little giggle,
or
a little
hee-hee-ho-ho-heh,
anything, rather than...
He would have laughed just like that. That's exactly how he would have laughed.
I mean, he would have. I mean, he does do that, like, I don't even know what it's like, I can hear, but it's like, what were you pulling from? I'm just curious, just because I want to know where... You pulled the stuff from. Again, this minute really, I think, takes it away from like what we were talking about yesterday of it being like the Clown Prince of Crime, a little older and just displaced and at the end of the world. It's like, I don't think that's the same like Criminal Underground Kingpin that we were getting in Suicide Squad. I don't think it's the same guy here. And that's fine. Now we're all just like spitballing and stuff. because we are given a line of dialogue in this minute to give us doubt in thinking that like this is all linear.
Oh yeah. And yeah. That's the other question here. So, or he says, how many alternate timelines do you destroy the world because you don't have the cojones to die yourself? Again, who wrote this?
Well, if he was like David Ayer's Joker, then
sure.
Sure. It's like I see where that idea comes from.
What I don't like is that in this interaction, he's he's like created these three sentence, these three questions that are so similar that are supposed to have the same effect of, and I don't know what's confusing is like, am I supposed to be scared? Am I supposed to just be like, oh, this is cool. This is Joker. He's in this comic book I'm reading. It's like, he's saying crazy things because he's Joker. Like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Because he's having this interaction. There's like this tense music. Everyone's like, you know, like nervous, like the characters are nervous, and then he's here.
Oh, the Joker's here.
Yeah. And he's saying, and he asks these three questions, right? It says, how many can die in your arms before you go numb to death? How many dead eyes can you look into before you die inside yourself? How many alternate timelines do you destroy because, frankly, you don't have the cojones to die yourself? Like, can you pick one question? Like, what is with all these rhetorical questions?
I mean, like, I get it as like a taunting thing, and for monologue's sake,
in a row?
For monologue's sake, I understand. But we're kind of past the monologue, and it's like into dialogue now, right? Because there was a back and forth before. So, yeah, you probably didn't need to use like a rule of three there, and you could have just did a one, a really big, heavy hitting one that makes you think, you know. Like the alternate timeline thing, you could have just used that and would have been like, oh, shit, wait, hang on. Now we're getting somewhere. And it also leaves it open-ended. Anyway.
It just doesn't have the connective tissue that a monologue should, where there's this repetitive thing of how many, Bruce, how many? Like, seriously, how many? Just that's the connective tissue of all three questions. How many can die in your arms? How many dead eyes can you look into? How many alternate timelines do you destroy the world? Because basically what he's saying is every time he changes the timeline, the world still ends up the same. And like, how many times are you going to let this happen? But he never completes that connection. Like, he never... Yeah, it just never comes full circle of just being like, I don't know, doesn't stick to landing in
any
way.
No, I get what you mean. Now, like, all of this really starts to fall apart kind of really fast for me. Because he does ask how many three times, so, like, and it's rhetorical, so we're already really supposed to know what that answer is, and if we're leaving it up to like the last question of how many alternate timelines, it's like, well, he's just going to keep on going over and over and over again. How many times is Batman going to let people die on his arms? Over and over and over again. I mean, that's kind of like what the answer is, right? So with that said and done, you get that. But the answer that Joker provides is, it doesn't make, unless I'm not understanding it, it doesn't make sense to me. The whole thing, like him asking how many times, giving him nothing, and then saying, well, the answer is that I have to fix everything like I always did. So we're going to have, like, I'm supposed to be the one to clean up your mistake, Batman. I get it, but how and why? And then, like, well, here's the truth. And my brain automatically goes to, like, well, what? Like, where does that come from? It's not just like a cat and mouse Joker versus Batman shtick that you're saying, hey, we're going to be friends at the end of the world here for a little bit. No, you were saying, like, I have to fix this because, Bruce, you fucked up. And if I'm Dick Grayson, I know you fucked up like my entire life and I always had to fix it. So what makes the Joker being here at the end of the world and intercepting Batman and his insurgency and offering him a truce, like, why is that so important? What the hell is Joker supposed to do? Why does Batman need Joker to save the world and save Lois Lane from dying in order to not make Superman go crazy and start killing everybody?
I think what's missing here is shots of the other members that are here. Because if you're questioning Batman's decisions, and he's always had these decisions that are his way or the highway, and there's no shots of them, you know, looking, squinting, tilting their head, looking at Batman in some way that says, this guy's crazy, but he's making a lot of sense, you know? Like, yeah. How many times are we going to do this? How many times have we been doing this? Like, you know, like...
At least, like, this... they could have given a shot to, like, shoot a glance at Barry. So it's like, oh, you know, you actually... like, are risking something by changing a timeline so many times. You're sending Barry back in time to send a message. I mean...
Yeah, and maybe...
Like, that's risky.
Barry and Cyborg, they know. they look at each other. There's something that says, like, yeah, how many times are we going to be doing this, messing with the timeline and ruining everyone's lives? And, you know, and then if people had found out that this was Dick Grayson and that this is, you know, his outcome... then they would really be like, why do we follow this guy? You know, like, we're over here being good soldiers to Batman, and for what? Like, for some endless war that he, you know, he can't satiate? You know, it's just like, there's missing fanfare to support the writing that's happening here. And then, and what's going on is, like, they're just focusing on Joker... because it is supposed to be, I guess it's just cathartic in the way of, like, he's here, he's in the movie, they're having the moment, they're having a cool, when's the last time Joker and Batman had a conversation like this in cinema history? It would be The Dark Knight.
What is the conversation, though? It's not Dancing with the Devil in the Pale Moonlight. It doesn't even come close to that, you know?
Or, it's one small push, right? You know, from Dark Knight. It's like,
there's nothing here.
It's missing that. It's aiming for it. It's aiming to be on within the realm of cinematic moments between Batman and Joker. And you know, in the future, it will be. You know, people will be like, here's all the top 10 moments of all the Batman Joker scenes, and it'll be, this will be among it. And people will be like, oh, I really like this. And it's like, well, why? What did you... Come on.
Yeah,
now.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't really know. So yeah, this conversation between these two characters, this introduction, I don't even know, like, troll showing up at the bridge to, like, answer riddles kind of deal. Like, it's kind of like what's happening, right?
I do kind of want something like that. I want it to be more Arthurian, more mythological, of like that kind of
Macbeth I do
kind
too.
Of thing of, like, showing up out of the
but
the dust,
like, if this is a weird sister situation, like, that's what I would rather be shown and would be able to correlate it to, but I don't know, right?
And the sisters showing up in Macbeth being like, How many? Like, the three questions, you know, like, that would really ring if it just kind of nailed it as a, I don't know, like, being this kind of dream, if there was, like, more of a mirage to it of, like,
now that we're saying Macbeth and stuff, and you gave me the three how many's and that whole thing, and
I'm working with it, but here, like,
you can pull make something. I don't know what you're pulling, but it's something.
The thing
and if
is,
that's, sorry,
Batman needs to feel haunted, like he's standing his ground and being like, no, I don't like you, and I'm gonna kill you, and, you know, we're gonna keep going, like. You know, it's way too Frank Miller Batman, where he's just like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong in my life. It's like, oh, God dang.
My way or the highway.
Own up to something. Please say sorry. You know?
Well, I don't know. Last time he said sorry, an alien torched the world or something. I don't know. It's just, maybe I'm approaching it differently, or incorrectly or something, mm-hmm. or maybe someone out there who is much smarter than me can actually say, hey, this whole interaction was supposed to be this. Yeah, I know minute 228 had really shitty dialogue and really terrible delivery in it, but it is supposed to be this blank, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, now I get it. Like, if someone was like, yeah, this is like, again, if this was a Riddles in the Dark reference, I'd be like, okay, tell me more. Mm-hmm. I want to study it now. Like, now I want to find the correlations and everything. That's what I wanted from it. But it just kind of, like, doesn't... I just don't know what the actual answer is. I don't know why there's a truce, and I don't know why Joker, like, has to fix the end of the world because Bruce is just too selfish. I get it if it was... Oh, I can't say that.
Well,
it has more weight... With it coming out of Dick Grayson's mouth, it does. It really does have so much weight. But it's like, what is, but then, like, it's like, well, is Dick Grayson like Metron? Like, how is he playing into this? Am I thinking way too bigger of a picture? Is it really just supposed to be like Injustice, where it's like, oh, the Joker did have an atomic bomb and, like, he needs to be there to deactivate it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think a truce, Bruce, I do like that. I think it works for Dick Grayson Joker, only because this Joker would actually love hate this Batman, and in that regard, I would think, like, okay, yeah, that works. Maybe he's always, not only is it's not cat and mouse, it's just cat versus cat. It's just cat fight. You know, that they're just quarreling. It's both sides.
Well, then it would be a lover's quarrel, Mark, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thank you.
write that down. Is that the title for the episode? A lover's quarrel.
Cool. There you go.
Hey, yo.
Yes. That's what the truce is that they will work together and they'll set it aside. They'll be a working happy couple.
That's stupid.
Okay, I know that wasn't the episode title. We're gonna go.
No.
Okay.
No, it's stupid that, like, the truce is just we can stop chasing each other. It's the end of the world. There's nothing left. What do you? You don't have your Lamborghini through the streets anymore. You don't have your cool circus, man.
You know, like, I wouldn't put it past you, Nate. They'd bring that. They'd bring that purple Lamborghini, and it'd be like post-apocalyptic Mad
if it's,
Max.
Well, then I would say, yes, please. You could literally take the entire roster of Warner Brothers IPs and put them in and Mad Maxify them or whatever you're going to call it. And I would, it would work every single time. Everybody, every single person. It's like, why they went the other way and was like, we're going to do new Space Jam. And now every single Warner Brother character is like in this on a basketball court. And I was like, well, hang on. Did no one like in that room be like, wait, what if they were all Mad Max? Zack Snyder probably did. And they were like, get out, kid.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, no, I get that, but I don't really like that, like, this big thing is just, it takes the end of the world for Batman and Joker to have a truce. That's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
The magic trick is cool. I love it.
The magic trick is cool.
The yellow gloves, I love that shit.
We finally get to see the front of this Joker's costume. And so we had the SWAT outfit, and then he's got like these robes on, and he's got like these yellow dishwashing gloves.
They may be a little bit more, they may be better than that, you know? You weren't looking at like...
Those are pretty good. Unless you're talking about
they could be... Oh, maybe they are just dishwashing.
But that's why I like them, because they're just dishwashing gloves.
Wouldn't it be funny if... Oh, crap. I was going to say, what if they were Robin gloves?
That's why Joker was...
What? Wouldn't it be funny?
Wouldn't it be funny? Ha ha.
What if they were Robin gloves?
Yeah. Okay.
Yellow gloves.
If they were.
If that's also tell to that, it's like, hey, he's going to wear the yellow gloves. He's a Robin. Batman's got the purple gloves. He's a Batman. You know, you do the
I'll give it to you, Nate. I'll give that one to you, Nate.
If that's what it is, I'm about that. That's cool. If he just himself chose yellow gloves to have in this post-apocalyptic outfit that he's wearing, I'm also going to give that to him because that is a badass choice, and mm-hmm. I would do the very same thing.
Maybe that's why his hair is green.
What do you mean?
Because Robin has green? I know the Joker has green hair, but, you know, hold on.
So you're trying to correlate the red and green, the green and yellow.
In this shot, you have the yellow. Yeah, well,
his lips.
Maybe something there. Anyways, but the yellow gloves. He's got these robes on, and SWAT outfit. Kind of, and then he has all these sheriff badges.
Okay, yeah, I get that, and like that's kind of like, you know, Han Solo's little ticks on his pants or whatever the hell they were saying that was. You know, tally marks on a soldier, Wookiee braids, Boba Fett trophies. Uh-huh. Anyway,
okay,
hang on before you get into the trophy with all the like police gloves and stuff or the police badges.
Mm-hmm.
I need to say something real quick, and it's still going back to the yellow gloves.
I'm listening,
and I think it is kind of relating to a Robin, right?
Okay,
why doesn't he have any purple on him? And why does he have yellow gloves? So I think mm-hmm. that was probably like, oh, snap. Yeah. You would think to put him in Joker's color scheme, right? Green.
And he had.
Yeah, green and purple.
He had purple gloves in Suicide Squad.
Did he? Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. Heath Ledger also wore gloves at one point. Were they purple? Probably. So yeah, it was like an obvious choice to choose yellow gloves for that. And if that is like the, yep, that means he's a Robin. That's dope. I like that. That is cool. Okay. Now let's talk about the, SWAT vest with all the badges.
Yeah. And I'm going to show you these images, Nathan, as we talk through it, but, you can see there is a bunch of these photos that Zack Snyder actually took and posted it on Vero, you can see.
Yeah, I've so seen the black and white ones as well, yeah.
And the... so that's, the robes, there's yeah. there's a face mask that Jared Leto has around his neck. I don't know if that was just pandemic stuff or that was part of the costume. I don't see it in the minute. Let me take a look.
I wonder if it was just like a choice, and he was like, we're going to have a mask on anyway, so it fits with the costume, so... keep it.
Yeah. It definitely looks like it's supposed to be like a surgeon's like robe.
Yeah.
Or something.
So
like
he's
that.
In like, what's that picture? Like the Nosferatu looking one. Yeah. What you got there?
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks.
Is that what it's supposed to be? Is this supposed to be like, is he supposed to be representative of like, I don't know, old cinema, older cinema? Don't get on me for not knowing the director's
name. I think it's supposed to be avant-garde in some way that's like, he's wearing a you know, he wants to look, they want a Joker that's making fun of Jesus, but also has the sheriff vest on with all these sheriff badges, or the SWAT jacket with the sheriff badges. Maybe it's like they're... it's like supposed to be edgy in the way of like, I'm making fun of Jesus. I'm making
commentary,
fun of
social commentary. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making fun of the police. I'm making fun of
order versus chaos, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I
How
get
can
it.
I make
but
fun
like,
of
I want to know
order.
Like, I want the actual answers. Like, I need there to be an interview for them to be like, hey, this is why we chose this. This is what Jared had to say about it. This is what he added. And you know what? We just went with it because we were having fun. Everybody was enjoying it. And he was given a good show.
Mm-hmm.
but that's, I think that's like what I need. Because I can go on and on about speculation with this crap. And because if it's not Chris Terrio, like, actually giving me the real cryptic message related to the mytho, then I don't know what the hell you're telling me.
Yeah. Joker Christ. That's what people have deemed this look.
They deemed this look Joker Christ. That's...
I'm not making that is, title. I like A Lover's Quarrel better.
That is...
That's certainly a choice.
That's funny. I think that's really funny.
That's funny.
I think that's because it's still JC.
Yeah.
I think that's really
Jesus
funny.
Christ,
I think,
Joker Christ. Yeah.
I think if
in
we can
in Joker
get,
Christ
if
you trust.
We can get to a point as in humanity
mm-hmm.
where we can like move away from the Lord's name in vain and it becomes Joker Christ.
Don't do this to me.
And like no one will know and people will just think like that's just what it kind of turned into. You know, language changes. Jared Leto's rolling in his grave because he lived on, that bastard.
And he's laughing just...
As if 30 Seconds to Mars wasn't enough.
Yeah. That would totally be something they would say, like, if it was, like, Batman Beyond or even The Dark Knight Returns when it's all, like, in the future and Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
They'd be saying... The mutants would be saying things like, Joker Christ.
Joker Christ. That's so good. That's really funny.
I hate this reality we've created.
We got there, baby. We're here. We're in it. We are knee-deep.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say is when he does pull that card out of thin air,
yeah,
that Joker illustration is the iconic Joker card that you see in a lot of Batman media.
Yeah.
And you see it a lot in it when you're... In all Batman media, when there's the Joker or the Batman cave, and he's got all these trophies like the T-Rex, yeah,
I just had a major realization. This is 30 something minutes into the episode, and I wonder if people were screaming at me because I'm an idiot for weeks. The card you mentioned, the card, and I like just like put a second thought to that card itself. It's the same exact card that we saw on the gun in Batman. So, what I said like last week or something, where this meeting with the remaining members of the Justice League and Batman's insurgency, this happens before the nightmare sequence in Dawn of Justice.
We did say that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, that is now, that's...
Now,
he gets the card here, he puts it on the gun, and then they go forward. Like, this is it. Like, this is the first part. This is a prequel to the nightmare sequence. It's still the nightmare, but it's, like, before the insurgency or whatever's remaining of the insurgency is captured. They're all in hiding, right? They're all underground and, you know, ducking under cars. And like I said, like, Batman and all of the remaining members of the Justice League failed in their mission. That's why he had to get Sons of Batman and do covert shit to get the rumored kryptonite out of Metropolis.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, we are getting closer to solidifying what this whole arc look like. And pretty sure they are on their way to Wayne Manor, the Hall of Justice that was destroyed. And I think he's trying to get Cyborg and Flash there to get the cosmic treadmill going so that Barry could go back in time. And they're stopped by Superman shows up here. There's a big confrontation that happens. We're not going to see it. I'm sure some of the members die, but not Cyborg, Barry, and Batman. And they eventually make it to the Batcave and get the cosmic treadmill going. And Batman says, instead of going to this point in time, I need you now to go to this point in time. And while you do that, I'm going to distract Superman by going to get the kryptonite. And then it's a trap. They already know that he's going to do it. So then he fights all the parademons. Carrie Kelly dies. Maybe they're going to go meet up with the Sons of Batman or something. And, you know, like all that, you know, hits the fan here in this week. And then right when he's about to die from Superman ripping his heart out, Barry has connected to the past and changed the timeline. And I think that's how it goes so far. But then that would mean the Joker yeah. dies in this. He makes this truce and all of a sudden he dies. He would have to
when?
Die.
What do you mean?
He would have to die when Superman shows up at the end of the scene.
But then we would have reason to believe that he survives. Because one, don't know where he came from. He just appeared there. Don't know how he got there or how he's going to get back. And two, if Batman survives what happens at the end of this week, if Batman survives that, which we know he does.
You're right. He would have died.
Like, that would have to mean that Joker would survive as well. And that's just like what I was talking about before, maybe on Monday, about the poetry of it all. Why are the two of them there together at the end of the world? They have to be. It's okay. That's just it. That makes sense. So Joker would like go, oops, let me do a little high-stepping sneak-away thing.
Looney Tunes his way out. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be sick. That would be sick. Okay. And like the whole point of that would just have been Joker giving him the card for use at a later time, but is the use at a later time the Sons of the Batman? Maybe that's the thing. Maybe the Mad Max members that are in the nightmare sequence, like, and Carrie Kelly, like, they're like, they work for Joker.
I think I'll correct myself. Joker lives in this scene. And then Batman has that card because he's holding on to redeem it later after all this is blown over. And then who knows what happens after that. But, yeah. So when he has the card in Dawn of Justice, everyone thought, okay, well, at some point he crossed the line, he killed Joker, and he has the card now. And he puts it in the gun. He's using guns now. He kills people. which is so strange. It's so strange to think about.
Well, we don't think he was killing people because...
He definitely shot that guy.
What guy?
In Dawn of Justice. With the did you get it? The Rock? And then he's like, yeah, it's right here. And it's a green light bulb.
No, he kicked the case at him.
And then he pulled his...
He pulled his handgun out.
He has
He probably did non-lethal. He did below the waist.
Okay.
And then when he was coming out of the truck, he just did like warning shots, like bang, bang, like one, two, like get, I'm a cowboy. Hands up, bad guys, like that kind of thing, like bang, bang.
Stick them up,
clear
partner.
Out the way, like an outlaw. It's honestly, I watched that sequence very recently. It still slaps like every single time. Let me tell you, the sound clip, it's up there with the dang seismic charges. The sound clip of Ben Affleck as Batman with the voice modulator saying, did you get it, comma, the rock. Like, that is one of the most, I'm getting goosebumps just like thinking about it. That is one of the most pleasing sentences that I have ever heard in my entire life. It is...
It's back, wild. That's back when they really leaned into the, you know, in Dawn of Justice, they respected the voice modulation.
Yeah.
And in this one, they really like second-guessed themselves. Like, do we do
they
it took now?
It was in and out.
It was in and out, right? And it's like, no, give me the voice modulation. Make him cool. You know? What was it like in All-Star Batman and Robin when he Robin calls him out. He's like, are you doing like a Clint Eastwood impression? Because that's not your normal voice, dude. Give me the voice modulation. I like it. I dig it. Now it's just like, it's just Ben Affleck's voice in the cowl. And it's like, come on now. Give me Batman.
I like Ben Affleck so much that like it still works for me because like you know, Ben Affleck mad is Batman to me. Like, that just, it just is. It just makes a lot of sense to me. Anyway, what was I saying right before that?
Well, how good you like the nightmare scene?
Yeah. So we're trying to like actually put.
we're making the timeline.
So he's not killing people, but he was shooting. My point with saying that was like, does he use guns now? I kind of am still on the side of like, well, like I think indirectly and non-lethally, because when the Superman,
I heard that in Poe Dameron's voice. He uses guns now?
That's funny. when the Superman soldiers show up and they do start executing people, like unarmed people, and he screams, no, like, oh, so like you do care.
Yeah. He screams, ayo.
Yeah. And like, if what you said was true, if like he was just a distraction just to get Superman away from a cosmic treadmill, him freaking out about the casualties makes sense, because it's like, no, you were not supposed, like, it was only supposed to be the parademon showing up here. It wasn't supposed to be the soldiers with guns. Like, where the heck, why? So I get that. Dang, we are like trying to force this together. The world only makes sense if you force it to. Damn it.
Yeah, there you go. That's poetry right there. We can go further on with this, but I think this will be a good stopping point. There's definitely, I think we've hit every beat of this minute. There's definitely more tomorrow and Friday, and especially the way that this week will end. But yeah, I think I think we saved, I don't know. We tried to make the best out of most of this minute, but
that's, I think, really what it is. It's like, fuck all with like what is actually happening in this minute. Just like, let's stay on this situation and let me just like unpack the whole mythos of this situation. Let me try to figure it out.
All right, we're gonna wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at @DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.